Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go. 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 This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I'm Andy Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Nicky Delaney. Say what?
It's the return of the Ripley's Odyssey. It's a Christmas tradition now, I think. As much so as watching Dinner at One, if you live in Germany. Dinner 4-1, rather.
Yeah.
Or the Bros documentary, if you live in Britain.
Yeah.
It's the deep dive into the Ripley's, believe it or not, annual yearbook, call it what you will. It's the 2021 edition, which we've both purchased at great expense to ourselves in order to entertain you, you cunts.
I would say this. I mean, I owe nothing to Sir John Ripley, right, or the publisher of this book, or it's published by Sir John Ripley. They've got it all sewn up.
In-house.
They own the means of production too. We don't owe them anything, but I would say that I can't remember how much this cost, but I was stunned by how inexpensive it was when you compare it to the amount of content. I would say content, what would you call it, content per pound?
Content right? Quarter, I don't know.
Yeah.
Quotient. Probably
superior to any other book available on Amazon.
Wow.
No, but think about it. Every page in Ripley's Believe It or Not has something that will literally make you go, wow.
Well, I will say the Elton John book is now out in paperback and that's only about $3.99 now.
That's up there. I would admit that. I was going to say that's probably the only book I've ever read that's comparable to Ripley's Believe It or Not. In terms of, I'm not saying quality, although we have gone on record before as saying Elton John's book is the best book ever written, right?
Mm-hmm.
But everyone's got their own tastes, and some books have they might mean more. It might be the poetic use of language, or the insight to the human condition, or the human heart, right?
Yeah.
Those things are all great, and perhaps that's a good reason to read a book. But if you're just talking about stuff, pure stuff. Then Ripley's is hard to beat for that money. For a price like that, you're not going to get more stuff. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, I don't know what's in it. I don't know what's in it compared to last year. Will it have,
Everything that goes into this book has to pass a fairly rigorous, believe it or not, test. Right?
Yeah, but how much of it's going to be new is what I'm about to say.
The editor says, Sir John Ripley himself.
Sir John Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Believe it or not. He's like, there's a very exclusive sweet spot in our book and indeed our empire of Believe It or Not emporiums all across the globe. And this is where it is. The Guinness Book of Records has things that are extraordinary, yes, but they are believable. They exist within the realm of rational thought. Nothing in the Guinness Book of Records is going to make you almost question the validity or the reality of what's happened, right? And on the other hand, you've got books of fiction like the Bible, right, or Moby Dick. And these are just the products of a man's imagination. They're flummadiddle. They're fictitious. They're madness, right? We know that and we suspend our disbelief. What Ripley's Believe It or Not does is sit in the hinterland between those two genres.
Hinterland, I like that.
The hinterland, right? Because you are not sure. Anything that goes into our book has to make someone doubt themselves. Is this true or is it not true? Or to put it another way, do I believe it?
Do you believe
or
it?
Or do I not do believe
you,
it?
Or do you believe it not?
Correct. And that is what is so unique about Ripley's Believe It or Not.
That's what no we'll be asking book. Ourselves.
And that is how they filter the stuff that goes into this book, and they're very, mm-hmm. very serious and strict about it. And that's how you know before you've even opened a new edition that everything in there is going to be make you go, fuck, fucking hell.
Yeah.
Which would also be a good title for this book, Ripley's Fucking Hell. Fucking no hell. No way.
Yeah. Well, we'll see for ourselves over the next few episodes. We've got the random page generator here, which is going to tell us which page to look at first. And I'm going to press the button. Page 106, Sam. Page 106 of 245. Fucking hell.
Contents of purest pages of purest content.
And on one... Whoa, what a start! 106, three words. At the top left of the page, matchstick Dodge Charger.
Yes!
And we're starting off
to a flyer.
It says Ripley's Exhibit, catalogue number 173119, matchstick Dodge Charger, a two-thirds size scale model of the iconic Fast and Furious Dodge Charger made entirely out of matchsticks. Entirely from fucking matchsticks, Sam. Created by Patrick Acton, it says here. Who has created all the things on this page. We'll look at the other ones in a minute.
Do you think people like Patrick Acton set about these tasks to create these extraordinary things motivated by being in Ripley's? So they don't think, I'm going to do this because it's of value in itself. They think, I am going to create something that can get me into next year's Ripley's.
It's got to be a factor, isn't it, when you start thinking of these sort of things. You've got to think, what am I going to do tomorrow, thought Patrick Acton. And then he thought, I'm going to try and do something that's going to get me into Ripley's, believe it or not. So I need to think big. I need to get someone somewhere thinking, fuck off.
The car from Fast and Furious made out of fucking matchsticks. Go fuck yourself. There's no way I believe that.
Impossible.
Or do I? Do I believe it?
Only possible. If it's going to be two-thirds sized. Not full size. That's not possible. I've never seen any of the Fast and Furious films, Sam.
No, nor have I, but I promised myself a binge one of these days. One of these days I will snap and I will watch every fucking one of them. And I believe there's about 100, right?
Yeah.
I will watch all of them in order.
Yeah.
And
they will be fucking magnificent.
I bet they are fucking great. It's a rare, you know, it's one of those film franchises where it's beyond my comprehension why I haven't seen it. Because I think Fast and Furious looks like a film franchise that has got the lot.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I've never got
when
around to
watching
it.
When you say the lot, you mean car chases.
It's got car chases. It's got, I don't know, but there's flying cars. Yeah. I know there's one where it's The Rock and Jason Statham. Right. Against each other, so that's obviously a good one.
That sounds fantastic, doesn't it?
And there's one called Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift. I always remember that, because that's a really good name for a film.
I mean, Fast and Furious in Japan.
I don't know what Tokyo Drift
is, as the youngins say.
I really want to see that one. But I think I'll watch them all in order. At the moment, I'm watching all the Star Wars films in order, not in order of release, but in order of the actual narrative.
Story order, yeah.
Yeah, me and the kids watching that.
Good.
And the kids over the years have worn me down and made me now truly believe, and I do believe this, that the prequels are the best films. They're better than the original ones.
Wow.
Because they've just got better stories than that.
Okay, well, even the second one, it's all about trade federations and things like
that. Yeah, I love it all. It makes more... like the first ones are quite babyish. They're just like baby films. But like the ones like Star Wars and Return of the Jedi and Empire Strikes Back. But the original ones are like proper fucking vast, complex stories but also have loads of fucking mad lightsaber fights in them and starship battles. Okay. So,
yeah,
anyway,
I might
that,
go back
that doesn't get us anywhere. But
I think this is going to be a Fast and Furious Christmas. We're recording this before Christmas so we can have time off to watch the Fast and Furious series.
I mean, keep an eye, because we may live broadcast ourselves watching every single, in a marathon with no sleep, watching every single Fast and Furious film in order.
Like a thing.
Over the Christmas period, just drinking loads and loads of coffee.
We might have already done it by the time we're talking about this now. But this is, this is a matchstick Dodge Charger done by your man Patrick Acton. It looks great. It's kind of hard to tell what two-thirds size would look like. It's going to be big, but not an actual car. I'm rambling at this point, but I'm just mesmerised by it.
There's other matchstick stuff on this spread, mate. I mean, we're doing the listener disservice now. This mad cunt, as Patrick Acton, he's been fucking busy, because if I made one two-thirds size scale model of the car out of Fast and Furious out of matchsticks, that'd be me done. I'll be like, that's it. That is my greatest matchstick modelling achievement.
Mm-hmm.
Few people are going to beat that. I'm convinced it's enough to get me into next year's Ripley's. That's me and matchsticks done, right?
But he's got a whole double-page spread, hasn't he?
But he hasn't stopped. He's thought, right, that's done. Now I'm going to recreate minus Tirith, which is from J.R. Tolkien's The Lord of the Rings.
Right, yeah.
And he has built it out of more than 420,000 matchsticks, 24,000 domino-sized wooden blocks, and 10 gal, that's 38 litre, of wood glue.
Right. It says there 24,000 domino-sized wooden blocks. That's jumping out at me, given that the title of the piece is Matchstick Minus Tirith. Mm. He's used wooden blocks as well. Is that
cheating.
Allowed?
Cheating. Bit cheaty.
Also,
fucking up. I tell you what, the only way I'm going to hit my deadline on this, he said to his own. I mean, the matchstick thing, of course, it's predominantly supposed to be a matchstick structure. And she's going, oh, hang on a minute. What do you mean predominantly? It's supposed to be matchstick. It's black and white. You're either making a matchstick minus Tirith or you're not. The thing is, I am never going to hit the deadline that I have set myself to get into Ripley's if I do every last bit using matchsticks. What I'm saying is some of the larger spaces could simply be filled with domino-sized pieces of wood.
The domino blocks are mostly the interior and the foundations, so they're not visible to the public eye, but they're an integral part of it. It could not exist without the wooden blocks. I'm sorry. You could either have this thing as it is, or you could have just a pile of sticks.
Well, I'm just saying, I don't know whether Ripley's will look sympathetically on this. Because if you just say, if you've added different bits of wood that aren't matchsticks, you have no longer made a matchstick structure. You have made a wooden structure, which is less exceptional. It's less likely to make anyone say, believe it or don't believe it not.
At least they're giving us the full facts. I mean, I think this is the third piece that he's done, and he's just got pissed off by the end. Question, can you buy what you would describe as modelling matchsticks, or has he had to buy loads of matches and then snip the sofa bit off the end?
Don't know. I mean, these don't have the flammable bits on.
They don't. You'd see them, wouldn't you?
Which is the sexy bit of the match.
The fun bit. Yeah, exactly. How do you dispose of them safely? Do you set fire to them?
Did you used
imagine
to
that.
Genie boxes of matches when you were a kid?
Where no, don't
you
remember
you take one match, strike it, and then you throw it in to the box and close the box.
Genie.
And then nothing happens for a while.
No.
And then suddenly some smoke comes out and you're like, whoa. And then suddenly all at once, all of the match heads catch on. It goes, bang!
Whoa.
Genie, mate.
Every night is fireworks night.
Matches are less of a thing. I mean, they were a huge part of our youth, weren't they, matches?
Our lives, weren't they? Yeah. I mean, I've never played with matches because I was told not to. So that's why I didn't do the genie thing. Mm. But
they were everywhere. Yeah. It was a daily temptation, wasn't it, lying in your path?
I remember there was a power strike in about 78, 79.
Yeah.
And we had power cuts in the evenings and we all existed by candlelight. I've told you before, you know, you come down from bed on a morning and you tell your Alexa to play some music for you. When I was a kid, we had to light the fire. Fucking before we did anything. That involved matches.
Matches. What sort of matches? Did you have those
everywhere?
Long Cook's matches, you know the ones I mean, the extra long ones.
Yeah, I do. I do now for lighting a barbecue with.
But did you light your morning fire with those ones, or did you just have normal Swan Vestas?
Just standard ones, yeah.
Weren't they ones with an old sort of sailor dude on the cover, or am I imagining that?
Were they players? Were they called players?
Players matches.
And there was also the ones that had a trivia question on the back, usually about football.
Yeah.
And in order to get the answer, you had to write off. There was a P.O. box address.
Right.
And it would say, how many caps did Stanley Matthews get for England, for example? And it would say, to get the answer, write the stamped addressed envelope. To,
you know what? Blah, 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 I'm going to fucking do that. Because I reckon it's 90, right? 90 or thereabouts. But I'm not sure. Let's find out.
I've got no other way of finding out. This is 1979.
It does not exist as yet. I'm going to fucking
write
off and find this out once and for all.
I'm going to spend 4 pence on a second class stamp.
Oh, get us some matches. Are you going to shop? Get us some matches and get us the ones with the trivia questions on. I'm bored. I'm going to read the fucking question. I'm going to write the answer, send that off, and then I'm going to genie the rest of the box. That'll pass some time. That'll pass the time before fucking Nationwide starts.
Oh, there's a fucking technician strike. It's not even on. Fuck.
Fucking hell. I'll have to... I don't know what I'll do. I'll have to read the cereal box as well. Reread that. Reread the back of the fucking Rice Krispies box.
I'll have to start making a model car out of matchsticks. Oh, no, I've burnt them all. The other thing he's done there is a matchstick International Space Station.
Yeah, that's good.
Again, built entirely from matchsticks. No mention of wooden blocks there. So he'd obviously done that one before he got bored and did the Lord of the Rings one. I think the Lord of the Rings one was probably commissioned by some wankers who were into Lord of the Rings. The other two feel like hobby projects.
I do some commercial stuff, contract stuff on the side just to cover my costs, you know. I mean, look, the way I look at it is, I've never been a fan of Lord of the Rings. I think it's for cons. But put that to one side, right? I just need to make one matchstick minus Tirith a year to cover my expenses to make a whole Dodge Charger and International Space Station, right? Mm. Probably have a bit left over for some extra matches to start my next project, whatever that may be. So... It's a price worth paying.
Jalapeño.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
I think we've exhausted the matchstick thing here. Let's find another page to dwell upon from the random number generator. Oh, page 25. Quite near the front. Hopefully this will be a good one.
I just say now, Andy... I'm really gutted that the random generator has not shown page 1, 2, 3.
Because
I just was flicking.
Would you like me to look at it and just
look at what page 1, 2, 3 then? And I just want to see what your reaction is to the image see.
All right, I'm not necessarily going to do it because it's against the rules, but 1, 2, 3. Let's open that up. Let's do 1, 2, 3, Sam.
Yeah, let's do 1, 2, 3, mate. This is a sensational image. It's the best picture I've seen all year.
Ever.
We're recording this in 2020. I don't know, it might be going out in 2021. But that's the best picture I've seen all year.
Yeah, it's been a terrible year, really,
it
for
has.
All of us, for so many reasons. But this has salvaged it right at the end. And it is, it's a picture, I'll describe it. It's Finley the Golden Retriever. He's on Twitter as well as Finny Boy Molloy. And it says, Finley the Golden Retriever can hold multiple tennis balls in his mouth at once. And I can see 5 green tennis balls there at least that
you
are visible.
You would not believe the size of this dog's mouth, Finley's mouth. And also the sort of flexibility of his doggy jowls. Now, I, like any normal person, love a dog's jowls. I love to get a jowly dog and sort of grab him and shake him a bit.
Yeah. Rag him around.
Yeah. And fucking hell, Finley would be the perfect dog to do that with. A golden retriever you don't think of as a particularly jowly dog. I mean, the classic jowly dogs are your boxers, your bulldogs, so on. But it turns out they have lovely big jowls, at least this one does. And you wouldn't believe how sensational 5 tennis balls rammed into Finley's mouth look. Now,
it looks spectacular.
And also the contrast of the green balls against his lovely, luxuriant gold coat. Now, you might be thinking, oh, this is cruel on Finley and he won't enjoy it. They're doing this just to get in Ripley's Believe It or Not. His owners have forcibly shoved tennis balls into a dog's mouth like an unscrupulous French farmer might ram grain into a goose's throat.
A goose to fatten up its liver. Yeah.
But no, you couldn't be more wrong because Finley looks absolutely delighted by his haul of tennis balls.
Sam, does he though? Look at his eyes. Does he really look happy?
I know, like, the balls are stretching his mouth into a smile shape, so we can't trust that.
Yeah, I think that's where
his eyes, I think his eyes, do you think he looks, like, confused? Like, why must I have all these balls in my mouth?
I think he looks behind the eyes.
It's not natural for a dog to have this many balls in his mouth at once.
I mean, what's he got there? He's got 5. It says he lives in New York. It says he's naturally talented, having surprised his owners when he was just 2 years old by picking up 4 tennis balls in his mouth. All right, so he started doing
it
himself.
Have a look at this cunt.
Thought I was just an ordinary dog, didn't you? Look at this cunt.
Think again.
Yeah. Yeah, he started it then, so I'm prepared to believe that he enjoys it. It says, nowadays, Finley can pick up 6. And then it says, talk about a mouthful.
Whoa! I like the writing in this book. It's funny.
It's good. And then to the left-hand side, there's a little bit that just says, do you want to fetch? It's almost like what Finley's saying to us.
I like the editor of it. He's like, yeah, it's good, that Finley bit on page 123. I feel it's missing something. I tell you what, I know it's missing something. Stick a yellow sort of circle just down in the bottom left and write something funny in there. Like, I don't know, not this because it's a bit shit, but something like this but better. Right, do you want to fetch?
Just use that as a placeholder, but put some better in. Right, I'm going for my dinner.
Well done.
I'm glad. Well done, I'm glad we did that. What was our target page originally? 25, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Come on, let's get back on track.
25 looked less promising.
25.
Here we go.
Oh, fire. A fire department in Start, Louisiana is known as the Start Fire Department, and their emblem is a bushel of flaming cotton, as in Start Fire. Louisianan Richard Gibson tells Ripley's the aptly named fire department organised in 1987, despite a name that leaves just about everybody shaking their heads. So it just says Start Fire, where they keep the fire engines. Now, I do believe that. I believe that 100%. There's no reason to not believe that. It's also pretty dull.
It's pretty dull. Let's see if this page has anything better, because this is one of those pages with not many pictures, just quite a lot of
It's got little single paragraph entries, hasn't it?
Titbits.
Yeah.
I'm
immediately drawn to the one that's entitled Lost Fingers. Let's see what that's about, shall we? Andrew Shilliday, a champion bagpipe player from Dungannon, Northern Ireland, had all his fingers and thumbs amputated after a terrifying autoimmune disease turned them black with gangrene. But he has a special bagpipe so that he can play it without fingers. There we are. He's salvaged victory from the jaws of tragedy.
Yeah, the joke's on you, dickheads.
I can still play me fucking bagpipes.
Can you imagine?
Sit down and listen to this.
he walked back into the fucking into the bagpipe clubhouse, right? They were like, yeah, we won't be seeing him again. He's gone. We won't be seeing that again. You know, he lost all his fingers and thumbs to fucking gang to a gangrenous disease.
It went black.
He was beset. He was besieged by. He was beset by a plague. And he walks in and goes, "Hello there, you cunts. That's right. It's me. I'm back. And you're right. I haven't got any fingers or thumbs. But look what I have got: a fucking fingerless bagpipe, you cunts.
And I'm playing better and louder than ever."
It'll take more than gangrene to stop me, Andrew Shillady, from playing the fucking bagpipes.
So yeah, as I say, a silver lining there to that one. There's another one here called Same Card, and it just says Ken Myers from Leeds, England, has sent his wife Valerie the same Valentine's Day card for more than 40 years, but with a new coded message inside every year.
Okay, now it's a bit creepy. Here's another here's a coded message for you. What the fuck? God. You're not in a John Le Carre novel, mate. Just write her a poem. It doesn't elaborate.
That sounds made up.
Thirsty survivor Brooke Phillips survived for 6 days in the Australian outback, 1,700 miles east of Perth, in baking temperatures of 35 degrees centigrade, by drinking the windshield wiper fluid from her car and also her own urine. Isn't that nice? A lovely little story.
Well, page 25's throwing up all kinds of, treats for us here.
I wish that we were offered the cover shifts on Heart Breakfast Radio, like Over Christmas. I think that's like Theakston and Amanda Holden, but they'll be off going to the Bahamas for their Christmas break. And then they pull in reserves, which me and you would be made for Heart FM. Like on that show, you mainly just play records by like Westlife or whatever. Yeah. And then you just have to fill small gaps. There's only very small gaps for talking. And a lot of it is just like you read out funny tidbits from the paper. But because we're pros, we'd just think, fuck that, we'll just take in Ripley's. And you go, now, that was Westlife. Coming up, it's Sophie Ellis-Bextor. But I don't know if you spotted this, Andy, but this year's Ripley's just come out. And I got to tell you this just before we go to Sophie Ellis-Bextor. It's a story about someone called Brooke Phillips, who was stranded for 6 days in the Australian outback. And get this, she survived by drinking the windshield wiper fluid from her car and also her own urine. This is murder on the dance floor.
See it's what 10 I mean? To 8.
Yeah. Fucking great. That we would fucking nail a job like that.
I've while you were telling me that, I delved a little bit deeper into the world of Leeds husband Ken Myers.
Oh, you found out about him?
The Yorkshire Evening Post. He's 78-year-old. He's a novelist. Mm. He writes, it's the same card. And he writes a new message into it every year.
So he sends
year,
it to her, she gets it, she opens it, and then once she's had it on the mantelpiece for a while, he goes, I'll have that back, thanks for next year.
I'll have that back for next year.
Classic Yorkshireman.
So, well, I was going to say, Yorkshiremen have got a reputation for being thrifty, let's say.
Frugal.
Ken says himself, he says, I worked in the industry for around 10 years and I designed hundreds of cards for big companies like Hallmark. I sent the card to Valerie in 1979 and then again in 1980. After that, I just carried on because it was a novelty.
And also cheap.
I like to think I'm a romantic husband. I am a member of the Romantic Novelists Association, so I am a qualified romantic.
I've got a fucking license. What have you got? Fuck off, just stop sniggering.
He's got a romance license.
License to romance, fucking hell. Sounds like a great name for an album or a single by ABC.
Yeah.
License to romance.
I think he had a bad time working for the big companies in the card industry, and he vowed never to pay for a card again as long as he lived, and that's why he's been doing this for 40
years. You won't catch me buying
a
card on the commercial market, let me tell you.
Only mugs buy cards.
That old fucking industry fucking stinks to high heaven. I know things about the card industry that would blow the fucking roof off it, yeah? But until now, I have chosen to keep my powder dry. right? Because I'm not someone who likes to cause trouble and make waves. But suffice to say, I won't buy cards. And one of these days, if the fancy takes me, I will bring that whole stinking business down to its fucking knees.
Suffice to say, I am in regular contact with the producers of BBC's Panorama. And there may or may not be a special episode coming soon. With lots of input from yours truly.
It is true, when I did leave the industry, I signed a number of NDAs, but I felt that I was pressured into doing so, and some of the legal team at Panorama have taken a look at them and said there is several loopholes in them that will allow me to talk to the media.
I'm looking at the card now. And it's the first one, 1979, says aisle, as in the aisle of a room, yeah. And then ooh, and then view. So he said, "Isle, ooh, view." I love you. 1980, Aya, early do, I really do. And then 1981, ice, till, do, I still do. So then he's just added to it every year.
It's tedious.
1997, tilled, ifers, dupe, art, till death us do part. 1998, an udder loss cheer, another lost year.
Will you suck me off?
Please. The year after, will you please suck me off?
Come on, just once before I die. I can't accept I've had my last ever blowjob in the fucking Jim Callaghan era.
2017, can't get it up no more.
Can you just play with your tits in front of me?
So there you go. That's Ken. He's been doing that for 40 years, and why not? You know, it keeps the marriage fresh and alive.
Lovely Ken. Although we don't know what Mrs. Myers thinks of it. I would be fascinated to hear. If we met her and got a few drinks inside of her and got her to open up privately without Ken present, then we'd hear the fucking
What she says publicly is, Ken is a very romantic husband. After 45 years of marriage, those little touches definitely keep the magic alive.
But, that said, there is no way I am sucking him off.
I'm sucking him off ever again.
I drew a line on all of that mucky business in 1978...
Yeah, and after that, the card started. Not a coincidence.
I mean, you've got to hand it to him. He's a fucking trier.
God loves a trier. That's it from this one, Sam. That's the first of our delves into Ripley's. It's been a mixed bag. There's all sorts there, I think.
Well, that's Ripley's.
The drinking of urine, matchsticks... And
us resolving to watch backpack. Every single Fast and Furious film in order live on the internet.
Yeah. Back with more Ripley's next week. It's probably still available in the shops post-Christmas if you want to get one and join in. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.